I'm Erin Knight. I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of Delaware. I'm very excited to be here and share this project with you. By virtue of being here means I'm almost done with my dissertation. But I'm actually really excited to share this project. I think it's a pretty unique form of health communication research that reflects the interdisciplinary nature of my faculty. And I'm really interested in your feedback on really on the approach more so than the findings. And so I hope we have time for some discussion. Also want to just quickly acknowledge my co-author, who's a fellow graduate student. He's been invaluable in terms of helping me develop, refine my code book, my definitions, and help establish intercoder reliability. And I have no relationships to disclose. So a little background. I'm, like many of you, very concerned about the disconnect between what we know about the social determinants of health, the structural determinants of health equity, and the health policy discourse in the United States. We've heard a lot about this already at the conference, and this really drives my research. I'm particularly interested in the role of the field of public health, the public health community in this regard. So the purpose of my dissertation broadly is to describe how the public health community frames the major causes of and potential solutions to poor health generally and health disparities in particular. I have two studies. I'm really going to talk to you about one today, but I want to give you a little context. I've already conducted a key informant interview, 25 interviews with individuals, health equity leaders, researchers, experts, many of whom were affiliated with the Unnatural Causes documentary series, if you all are familiar with that. So those interviews helped me develop my code book, helped refine some of my definitions, and I may refer to that, so I just want to make you aware. But today I'm going to talk to you about my media study, and my purpose here is to explore how a major trade publication, a public health professional newspaper, presents the causes, solutions, and responsibility for addressing health disparities. I'm going to talk about the nation's health. So before I go further, I'm just curious how many of you read the nation's health, or at least skim it. Okay, good. All right, so you all know what I'm talking about. How did I get from that big problem down to wanting to look at the nation's health? Well, my interest in this area is based on two bodies of work. One, I think it's a pretty large evidence base now on the way the news media portrays health. I think, regardless of what condition you're looking at, health tends to be described as a medical problem, and it tends to be described as an individual problem, and that's really consistent throughout the literature. I think the other area of work that sort of drives my interest in this project is, I think, an exciting emerging work on framing. You know, we keep heard framing in a lot of the presentations today. And I think there's some really exciting work on how to frame social determinants of health, how to frame health disparities, the difference between disparity and equity. I think there's a lot of really exciting work going on here, but I'm concerned that the potential benefits of all this framing could fall on deaf ears, or could at least be constrained if the underlying discourse of the field does not reflect that. So there have been a lot of critiques, calls to action within public health. We're not fully embracing social determinants of health. We're not embracing this idea of structural issues with health inequity. And so I want to look at the communication within the field and sort of assess rigorously that critique. And it's guided, my study is guided by literature on the role of professional organizations in facilitating change and disseminating scientific knowledge, and then also a policy theory of agenda setting. So as you all know, APHA is the oldest and largest organization of public health professionals. It views itself, this is from the website, as a collective voice for public health. The nation's health is described as delivering the latest public health news, findings, and information to about 28,000 readers, most of whom are public health professionals, members of APHA. But other subscribers include libraries, health departments, businesses, and some interested individuals. This information, by the way, one of the editors of the Nation's Health kindly spoke with me about this. I didn't realize 200 members of the news media get a copy of the Nation's Health every month, and all members of Congress also get a copy. And so I think it represents a potentially important form of communication among professionals, between scientists and practitioners, and between the field and policymakers. And despite the fact that it's a monthly publication, the content is generally produced in a similar fashion to traditional news. So my methods. I wanted at least 300 articles, an adequate sample size. I estimated about 35 articles that would be included in each issue, so I took a sample of 10 issues over the course of what I had available in terms of issues. Importantly, my unit of analysis is the article, not the issue, so in terms of randomization, it's a little bit dirty there. First thing we do, I actually get some two undergraduate students with funding from the University of Delaware's undergraduate research program. Two students helped me create an inventory of all the articles in those 10 issues, excluding ads, classifieds, in memoriam, and the annual congressional record, and we had an N of 508. We then screened those for additional inclusion criteria, which I can talk about if you're interested, but ended up with an N of 418. We did test for intercoder agreement and had a sufficient Kappa score. I looked at a lot of variables. I'm going to talk to you today mainly about prominence and placement of disparities articles. I looked at health generally speaking, and so the disparities articles are a subset of all the articles. And then really I looked primarily at causes and solutions and responsibility, attribution of responsibility. In terms of causes and solutions, these were all structured codes. There were four categories of cause and solution. And this list, genes, biology, individual behavior, medical care, and this last category is sort of the social and physical environment, or what I view as the social determinants of health. This list was driven by a pretty exhaustive review of health promotion frameworks, public health frameworks, and was also consistent with a couple published studies on media analysis of disparities, so I wanted to be consistent with what others had done. A couple important definitions I want to share with you. We coded articles as mentioning disparities if it included any reference to differences in health status or factors that influence health between two or more groups, or if the article explicitly referred to disparities or inequalities or inequities. And then an article was coded as having a focus on disparities if those criteria were met in the headline or first three paragraphs, and this is consistent with news research. Just real quick, you don't have to look at all this. We had, I think, sufficient Kappa scores with all the variables. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. I had a graduate student help code the content here, and I think this is an interesting difference between conducting traditional news content analysis and a different type of medium that has a different target audience. I'll just point out the gender disparity variable had zero. That was... there was only one article that had any mention in the articles that we double-coded that had a gender disparity, and one of the coders didn't code it, so we couldn't calculate the Kappa there. I just want to also recognize I use PRAM software, which is free software from Kimberly Neuendorf, who's kind enough to share that with me, and it's no longer available on the web, but she's willing to share it for folks that are doing this type of research. In terms of my findings, about 19% of articles had disparities as a major focus. 27% mentioned disparities. And this is, I think, pretty safe to say disparities are more prominent in the nation's health than they are in traditional news. In terms of placement, most of the articles that mentioned disparities, for the rest of my findings, I'm going to talk primarily about articles that mentioned disparities, and that includes articles that focused on disparities. So my N here is 112. Most of those came from the health findings section or Journal Watch, which are really sort of snippets of research, so scientific studies from the American Journal of Public Health or other studies. And then also The Nation, Nation in Brief had about 25%. And 12% on the front page. The rest of the articles were pretty well spread out across the newspaper. Disparity types, most common was racial and ethnicity, not surprising, and among those with a focus on race and ethnicity, African Americans were the group that was primarily identified as having poorer health. Geography, though, about a third of the articles noted a disparity or a difference in health by geographic region, and you can see the rest here. Non-specific was when the article referenced disparities sort of generally, but didn't talk about what that meant. In terms of language, this is something I'm really interested in, and I would like to talk more about this if there's time at the end. About 29% of the articles used the term disparity, and there's a lot of debate in the literature about the importance of these terms. Surprisingly, I think only 3% and 2% used terms like inequity or inequality, respectively. And a large majority of the stories used none of those terms, used terms like higher than, less than, I think disproportionate was common, and if I had a chance to go back, I would use that as another key term, I think, to break this down a little bit further. In terms of cause, primarily cause, so this is sort of what did the article talk about as the determinant of health, and so I think here, similar to traditional news, medical care was the focus. I think this is important in reference, in light of yesterday's discussion, I think Dr. Carter Jenkins mentioned, you know, 10% of disparities come from deficiencies in medical care genetics. Here we have 32% being described as coming from those areas. I think importantly, the social environment or social determinants of health are represented about a quarter of the time. Okay, thank you. And then importantly, I want to do a little bit more analysis on this, but this shows you the difference between articles that focus on disparities and all other articles. And I want to highlight medical care tended to be described as the determinant of health more often in articles, twice as often in articles that had a disparity focus than all other articles. In terms of solutions, medical care, again, is the primary solution offered. I also want to point out here this large none category, because I think the agenda setting literature tells us it's really important to have solutions that correspond with our problems. And a large percent of the time, we don't do that. And I think it's it reflects the fact that we don't, you know, we know a lot about problems. We don't know as much about what will work. And so that's reflected here. This is a little busy. What I tried to do here, again, reflecting agenda setting literature, the importance of sort of matching problem and solution. What I have on the bottom here are primary causes, and the bar graphs tell you the primary solutions for each of those causes. So for instance, under medical care as a cause, about 80% of the time, medical care was also identified as a solution. And so you can see the rest of these breakdowns. I think another interesting one here is genes and biology. Medical care was often identified as the solution to a genetic or a biological problem. In terms of responsible agent, I think what this shows us is that articles in the Nation's Health certainly put less emphasis on individual responsibility than the traditional news media. There's certainly other responsible agents. And this top bar, the largest percentage, about 40%, many of those were multiple responsible agents. And so we couldn't determine what was the primary. A lot of this research, we were trying to code primary. And so what this tells us is, I think, the Nation's Health does presents things in a more complicated, nuanced fashion than traditional news. You know, news tends to be described in very sort of simplistic, overly simplified terms, and I think the complexity of stories that are covered in the Nation's Health reflect a more sophisticated audience as well. Again, though importantly, about 30% of articles don't identify any responsible agent, which has implications for agenda setting. So in summary, I think the value here, we've tried to provide sort of a snapshot of health in the Nation's Health, or the health framing in the Nation's Health. What I could present to you, I haven't yet, we weren't really concerned with what health conditions were being described, and that's going to be some future research, but really we're trying to get a sense of overall, when you read the Nation's Health, what do you walk away with in terms of what's important and what are the causes and solutions? And so we've tried to give kind of a big picture of what that is. In terms of relationship to traditional news media and studies that are out there, someone asked me yesterday, well, how are we doing? And I like that question because I think it's important to note that the content, at least the way I view this, the content of the Nation's Health is not just based on the choices of the editors, which is somewhat different from traditional news. I think it reflects the priorities of the field. They're reporting on findings in the journal. They're reporting on what the field prioritizes in terms of research. Certainly, there's a selection process that I haven't been able to study, but I think in general, we still do put perhaps too much emphasis on medical care at the exclusion of social determinants of health, because it's a finite amount of space here, and what gets included means something else is excluded. I do appreciate the more attention to social responsibility, lack of less attention to individual responsibility. And then this issue of the application of news content analysis methodology, this was a good learning experience. You know, initially I had the undergraduate students help me code, and I thought that I was very excited to get some funding and to be able to work with some students to do this. What I found out very quickly is there's a lot of, the audience, definitely a different audience, and that has major implications for the way you study this. It's not something that can be easily transferred from one medium to another, and I can certainly talk more about some of that because there are a lot of lessons learned. In terms of implications for agenda setting, I mentioned some of those. I think the language issue is really important. There's some research around the role of professional organizations in disseminating knowledge, and one of the things that this work talks about is the importance of a professional organization in synthesizing and distilling the research, not just reporting it and disseminating. And I think, I hypothesize that the editors and the writers in the Nation's Health are trying to share sort of objective summaries of the research, but you can read the abstract. You know, I think there's an important role here for, particularly because we're sharing this with people outside of the field, of helping to interpret the information. And this idea that presenting disparities in sort of neutral ways is itself a bias, and I think it's a potentially a missed opportunity for presenting a social justice frame, for presenting disparities as a social problem. And so I'm going to explore that a little bit more. Conveniently, I don't have time to talk about my limitations. Next steps, I just want to say I am going to be doing some more analysis. I'm also going to be doing a qualitative. I want to look at this in more depth. I'm a recent convert to qualitative methods, and I think there's a lot that I can find with the subsequent analysis. And I'm also planning to look at these findings in relation to my interviews. So thank you very much.